Turn with me to please Isaiah 59. We'll go to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. But first, I want you to notice and draw a picture for us from Isaiah chapter 59. Some of you know that I do doodling and little pictures, so this picture captures a concept, and it is a concept of oppression, abuse, oppression, injustice, lying, hypocrisy, tyranny. And this is happening around the world in many different ways. And I'll draw it as a house here. Here's a house. If you could think of somebody in the house that is abusive, there's a pathway out of the house this way. There's a door here. But in the house, there is abuse. Maybe we could say there's a man in the house that is abusing a child, maybe a wife, maybe he is an empty person who is a hypocrite and oppressive. We can imagine that. And if you take the house and make it bigger, it's a company or an institution, and go bigger, it could be a country that is being ruled by lies and oppression, and the people are in bondage inside the house. The child is, there's fear, there's tyranny in the house. Isaiah 59 says this, verse 14, judgment is turned away backward. So I'll put here, on the outside of the house, judgment is turned away. Judgment is turned away. So judgment could come to the house and put things in order, but he doesn't come. He turns around and goes back. And the tyranny continues in the house. The next one, verse 14, justice stands afar off. So we'll put here a little man far away. And his name is Justice. Where is Justice? He's far away. But in the house, there is oppression. There is fear. There is tyranny. There is abuse. There are lies. People are in trouble. What's happening in the house? Justice is standing far away. Verse 14. And truth is fallen in the street. So it's put down here. Truth is fallen. He's laying like this. There he is. His feet are up. What's his name? Truth. He fell in the street. Where's truth? He's fallen in the street. What? What? Where's the joy? Where is the freedom? Where is the power? Where is the liberty? Where is the release? Where is the worship? Where is the message? Where's the Christ? Where's Christ in this picture? He's not there. Verse 14, equity cannot enter. So equity is standing at the door, we could say. And he's knocking on the door, but nobody answers the door. And his name is Equity. So it continues this way. I hope this stimulates your imagination and can consider that in this world, a lot of this is happening. Maybe there's a pimp with a house of women that he's selling their services. They would love to get out, but they can't. They've tried. We've been involved with that in Europe. woman escaping. Maybe it's a dishonest businessman and somebody got caught in a bad deal. And now they have a hard time getting out. Now notice in the same chapter, Isaiah 59, we'll go to, it says, he saw there was no man, verse 16. He saw there was no man. This means God saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. God was in heaven. He looked for a man. He looked for somebody that could go in there and bring these words. Just go over the list: justice, judgment, truth, equity. He looked for a man who could intercede, who could come in to the picture, had the authority to say the truth and not be afraid. He had the authority to release the captive. He had the authority to say the word. He had the authority of Christ. He was God. Look at the verse with me, please. He wondered there was no man, there was no intercessor, therefore his arm, God's arm, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, this is the verse many of us know, the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Yeah, the Redeemer will come. Now let's go to the Christmas story. This is a short message, but a good one for us because we are celebrating this amazing holiday with content. We have content in our hearts. We have content in our life. We have what is being said here in this picture, because this house was like a house I was in at one time. Not my family, but in our society, in my bad habits, in my friendships with people. It was a house. It wasn't a house of truth. Yes, maybe we were good people, but we were not free people. Yes, maybe we were moral, but we were not spiritually minded. We didn't know. We didn't know why we were here. We didn't know what our options were. We didn't know what our life was about. We didn't know that we were born for freedom and joy. This is the nature of this day, is that God so loved the world. Now, notice this, listen to this carefully, that God Almighty, this takes our breath away, 100% God, became a man. He didn't put on a Halloween costume and be like of a man, that God became a man like on the surface. Like he clothed himself with an appearance, but it was in the very form. It says morphe. The essence of God was a man, that a man was in essence God. That's in Philippians chapter 2, that God, 100% God, became a man, 100% man. The angels saw it, because angels are spirits. We are part spirit. We are spirit, but we are also mortal bodies. But as you grow in Christ, your spirit is alive, and the angels know it, and God knows it, and God knows who you are. And you are really a real spirit that is indwelt by the living God. And that spirit that dwells in you is the same spirit that is saying the things that are being said to us in our Bible, and are saying what the angels were saying as they observed it. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These are the simple, humble, illiterate people with not much of a job, not many possessions, but they had they were the lower end of the economical spectrum, but they were the ones, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. There's actual power. Angels have the actual spiritual power. And the presence of the angel came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Do you know that one of the marks of our faith is our joy? It's our joy. How could we say we are mortal people living in a mortal body that are dying every day? And have you noticed how people are afraid of dying? They're afraid of COVID and other things and diseases. And of course, we are mortal people that understand and also know what fear of death is. But also, the angels, this is our world. This is our world. Our world is a world of the Spirit. It's a world of God, who is Spirit. It's a world of angels and the presence of God. It's a world of words. It's a world of faith. And this living God enters that house. And this is what's happening in the story, actually. The shepherds are being told by angels, God is here. God is here. I bring you good tidings. This isn't a police force coming or an army. This isn't a university lecture. This isn't a pile of money. This is not, you know, solution to circumstances that men would be able to manage or control. This is not a satellite or an internet connection. This is a spiritual reality. And that God, the angels saying, this blows our minds. The angels are saying this. Read it with me. It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is the feast up on the wall over here. It says, a feast for all. What do you mean, all? Indians, Africans, Koreans, Chinese, a feast for all. Rich, poor, black, white, educated, uneducated, little people, 4 years old, 40 years old, big people, important people, unimportant people. It's a feast for all people. Because everybody has a problem in that house. And you know what controls that house? Death. Death controls that house. And death is walking through around the house telling, you're going to die. You're toast. You're history. You don't have any authority over me. I'm in charge. I've got control over you. We need a savior. We need nothing less than God becoming a man to save us. To go in that house and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Who are you compared to me? I overcame you. I am a man. I overcame death. Death came by a man, and death is defeated by a man. The angels said, I bring you good tidings. Nobody can go better than this. This is it. This is freedom. This is relationship. This is reconciliation. This is power. This changes your life. I was reading about a story of a woman who wanted to get married, and it didn't work out, and again another time. And it says in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 13, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So the woman was having this hope, and as she was disappointed and growing older, her heart got sick, meaning as she became depressed, and she stopped hoping. Because why would I hope only to be disappointed? I'm going to be heartbroken again. So I give up. I withdraw. I don't want to face it. I just cash out. I'm finished. I'm done. She is being lied to. She is being told that the only hope that she has is a hope of marriage. And it doesn't work. When God comes into your life, there's great tidings. There's a change. There's something that changes. There's a Savior. There's a living God. And now our expectation is in God. Psalm 62, verse 5. Now I come alive. I come alive again. Because the hope that God gives us is not about marriage. It's not about money. It's not about family. It's not about good health. It's not about long life. The hope we have is God. God is our joy. God is our life. God is the answer. God is our peace. God is our answer. God is the message at Christmas. It's Him. Let's read what the angel said. It says, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. They knew the meaning of it. They were shocked, I think so. I think we could say the angels saw God create the universe because He made angels first, and He created the universe, and they were singing when He did it. They were amazed. They were always obedient, always submissive, always understanding, always in fellowship with God. Their faces do always behold the face of the Father, Jesus said in Matthew 18. But a third of them fell, and they came here. And this world has evil angels in it. And the evil angels are those powers that are in the atmosphere that lead us in unbelief, that tempt us in the trials of life, that afflict us. They can even cause disease in Acts 10 and verse 38, Matthew chapter 4. The devils are real. They can tempt you. They can take your faith away. They can take the Bible out of your heart. In Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, they can take the Word of God out of the heart. They can lead believers to lie to the Holy Spirit in Acts 5, 2, 3, and 4. They're powerful. They can deceive a nation. When a nation calls a little boy a little girl and a little girl a little boy, then you got to wake up. Guys, we are in a world that is like that house. Come on. We are in a world that is oppressing, lying, cheating, deceiving. And so we are part of that. But no, Christ came in. The angel said, you guys, this is big. This is big potatoes. This is huge. You have no idea what this means. You will be like the angels in the resurrection in Luke 18. You will not die. You will leave your body and fly away in Psalm 90, verse 10. Luke 16, angels will come and take you to heaven. What do you mean, heaven? Revelation chapters 20, 21, 22, it's a real city. It's a real city with real gates, real foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And our sisters and brothers are gathered there with an innumerable company of angels. Who told us this? The Bible. I don't believe the Bible. Well, you don't have to. Go your way, do your thing, live in your house, and have a good time with your leader, man, who dies, who lies, who oppresses, who steals and cheats, who's perverted, who's unbelieving. Oh, no, I know good people. Well, keep your eye on the good people and see how it turns out for you. When you are on a deathbed breathing your last, what does a good person do for you? A good person cannot save you. A good person cannot solve your problem. There is no answer except Jesus Christ. So here, let's go. Let's finish it up here. This is good. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. Glory to God. He is so humble. He is so kind. He is so patient to you and me, to the unbeliever. You might say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I'm not a Christian. We're talking to you. We want to reason with you. We want to encourage you. We've all been there. We all know what it is to be in unbelief. Well, what it knows what it is to have 100 questions about the Bible. But do you have listening ears? Are you interested? Do you have a searching heart? Do you realize your life is in trouble? Do you know that you need a Savior? Do you know that there's only one that can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, who can wash away? It's a stain that I cannot get rid of. It's a problem that I can never solve. It's an arrogance that never leaves me. It's a blindness that it can never be resolved. Though I take the anointing salve and take much nitre and alkalide and take vinegar and all kinds of soaps and detergents, I cannot change my heart. Must be something greater. So here we go. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Notice, there's the heaven and there's the earth. There's the angels and then there's a child in Bethlehem. Well, I am of the earth. I won't believe until I see it. Well, go to Bethlehem and see it. Go and see it. Go to Bethlehem and see it. Go to Israel one day. Go to Jerusalem. Go to the Sea of Galilee. Go and see it. Read the prophets and see it. Read church history and see it. Go and see it. Have you seen a miracle? We have. We have seen miracles. I was preaching once in Europe. This woman had a tumor in her breast, and nobody knew about it. But as I was preaching, she felt the warmth go through her body. She went into the bathroom to examine herself, and it was gone. She went to the hospital, and there was no sign of it. She said that God had healed her. It was a serious thing. God did it. Well, have you seen a healing? Have you heard a word? Do you believe the prophets? Do you know the tomb is empty? Do you realize that Christ is the answer? Have you come to Jesus? Have you believed in him with your heart? Open your heart up to God. Oh. No, we are a proud people, a blind people like the Jews. Like the Jews. The Lord said to the Jews, I've spread out my hands all day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. The end of Romans 10. I've held out my hands. I like to think because I see the cross. God held out his hands all day long to these people. And can you see that? Yes. Well, in closing, I'm going to just read this last because this is this is brings it home to you and I, because this holiday is a precious one, but it doesn't mean much unless Christ is alive today. If he can do these things today, if he can visit you in your house today, if he can come into your heart and into your life today, if he can bring health to a church today, if he can bring a revival to a community and touch a group of teenagers and various people of all kinds, if he can, if the feast is for all, and then not just 2,000 years ago, the shepherds and Anna and Simeon and Mary and Joseph and the wise men, but if it is for us today, then this is what he says, James 5. Is any among you sick or suffering? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. I was feeling good today, so I told my wife when I got out of bed, I just want to sing psalms. I'm merry. I'm happy. I'm joyful. So I was singing some songs out of the book before I did my morning devotional and just singing psalms. What a beautiful thing, because this is real. Because Jesus came into my house and he set me free and he kicked the out. Who did he kick out? Okay, I don't want you to be offended by this. He kicked out who? Hebrews 12, he uses the word bastard. Okay, I'm not swearing in the pulpit. I'm just quoting the Bible. He kicked the bastard out. Yeah, you know, that guy. You know what a bastard is? A child without a father. And you know who that is? The devil. He doesn't have a father. And you know, when he came into this world, he wants this world to be that way. We have no father. I am in charge, he says. I am in this house. Well, Jesus came in and he kicked the out, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He put him under his heel. He crushed his head. He took the venom out. He destroyed the snake. He destroyed the lie. You cannot lie to me. I mean, we are liars, but Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we have the truth, it sets us free. And we get happy. Is any merry among you? Anybody happy? Let him sing psalms. But let's say, it doesn't happen always, because sometimes it says, is any sick among you? Yes. Keep John Nielsen in prayer. I believe he's going to get out of the hospital. Anyone else, I'm not mentioning all the names, but is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And there, what will happen? He will be healed. Let the prayer, because Christ is alive and real. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Thank you, Jesus. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed, that that house will not be a house of lies, but a house of love, a house of freedom, house of truth, house of deliverance. The demons flee from the house. They cannot handle it because we have the joy of the Lord is our strength, because truth is greater than their lies. And we go, boo, be gone. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He does not like that house. This is a house that God has built. This is a house that stands. This is a house that is from God. This is a house that is not afraid. It's not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not of this world. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid. Oh, dude, Christian people are the most joyful people on the earth, but they're the most realistic. We get sick too. But we pray and he raises us up. I met a man in Israel. He's told me he was an old man. He said, I've had cancer 3 times. And every time God has healed me. He was from Britain, Great Britain. He said, God, so I spent some time talking to him and listening and just being encouraged. He goes, every time it was a total miracle. I was healed of cancer. Now, I said, how old are you? I think he was 89 or something now. And he got it when he was in his 60s or 70s. And beautiful story. I just want to say, we are Christian people. And we have our problems too. And we have our discouragement. And we can have our depression. And we can withdraw. And we can hide. And we can go away and live in a house of lies. And be oppressed and be troubled by it. But that's not what the angels said to the shepherds. They say, peace, goodwill toward men, peace on earth. I bring you tidings of great joy. It's over. I want you to be free, God says. And then he says, lastly, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you know that your prayers are powerful? We're praying for our communities. We're praying for our lives. We pray for our families. We are praying for missions, world missions. We're praying for people to go to the mission field with the message and just preach for 30 days, morning and night for 30 days, and then pack your bags and go to the next country and preach for 30, 60, 90 days until God says, stay here. I have many people in this city. That's in the book of Acts. This is the way we live now. We are people that are, yes, we have our family and our possessions and we have our normal life, but one thing we cannot have is a house in bondage. No lies. God cannot lie, and nor can you. You and I are not living in lies. We have good news and great joy for all people. And if we get it right in Baltimore here in our church, do you know that the word will go around the world that church in Baltimore is healthy? That people in Baltimore are servants? That people in Baltimore have a spirit of zeal? The spirit of Baltimore, they pray fervently and God answers? But aren't they people of like passion as us? And this is my finish. You guys are awesome. Look at verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. What's the word there? He was a man who could get afraid of Jezebel. He was a man who could get up in the morning and get up like, oh. He was a moody man, maybe. He was a man emotional, maybe. He was a man that felt good sometimes, ups and downs. He was a man of like passions as us. But it didn't stop him from praying. And he prayed because he was righteous. And God shut the heavens for 3.5 years. Then 3.5 years later, he prayed again and opened the heavens. A man of God, a man of like passions as we. Where does he come from? Not that kind of house. Not that kind. He comes from the house that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and we are his people. Amen. This is an invitation to anyone listening. If you want to be serious with God, God will be serious with you. If you want to fool around, he can fool around with you. That's the way you want it. It can be that way. It's your call. But he is serious. He is saying, come, believe me, trust me, as you are. You're not good enough. Nobody here is. Never have been. None of us. Nobody. We're not good enough. Never could. Nope. We're just people that heard the good news of the gospel. That Christ died for us. Was raised from the dead, and he is your Savior. And say to him, Jesus, I need you. Save me. Come into my heart. I pray. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand for a moment. If there's a hand in the back. Anybody? Anybody at all? Just raise your hand for a moment. Yes to Jesus. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. There's another hand in the back there. Thank you. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. Today is your spiritual birthday. You are born again by believing in Christ. Write the day down. December is at the 23rd, isn't it? The 22nd. December 22nd. You are a child of God. Walk by faith in Him. He loves you. He forgives you. You're a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.